It was from a biblical worldview that the founders of America created this nation. The Declaration of Independence mentions God four times and says that He is the source of our rights. Dr. Alex McFarland, a frequent guest on this program and the author of 20 books, is a Christian apologist and broadcaster. He wrote recently on the importance of a Christian worldview. Quote from Dr. McFarland, Arizona Christian University conducts an annual worldview survey among incoming freshmen and other respondents. The 2023 study documents significant declines among born-again Christians, indicating that a biblical worldview does not inform their actions or decisions. A few of the survey results were alarming. Of American adult born-again Christians, only 13% hold a consistent biblical worldview, while 22% of preteens' parents are born-again Christians. Only 8% of the teens themselves hold a biblical worldview. About 1% of preteens have a biblical worldview. Of young teens, only 36% believe God exists and is the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the universe. End quote. And again, this is from an article by Alex McFarland. Dr. Alex McFarland now joins us on the program. Alex, it's always good to talk with you.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Newcomb. It's always a blessing to speak with you, and I appreciate so much the way you think and communicate and everything that the ministries you are a part of stands for.
Well, I tell you what, since worldview is so important, let's start with the founders of America. Would you say that for the most part, the key people that founded America, even those that might not even have, let's say, subscribed to every particular, you know, major doctrine of the Christian faith, that basically they had a biblical worldview? And that would include even Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. The founders of the country not only believed these things personally, but they built our nation, our government, certainly framed our Constitution with principles that were in conjunction with a Judeo-Christian worldview. And it's really become a tragic misnomer to assume that the founders were atheists or deists or, you know, didn't believe in God, moral absolutes, the sovereignty of God over human affairs. And so I really feel like it will do a lot to re-educate people and help people understand that the greatness of our nation was not just economic success or some accidental happenstance. No, it was because the founders intentionally crafted this nation and the belief in our inalienable rights that come from the hand of God, the Massachusetts Provincial Congress to, you know, the Constitutional Convention, you know, Madison and Washington, John Adams, the founders believed in a biblical worldview, and they wanted that to be the worldview of our nation.
Now, what would you say to those who might say, well, okay, the Declaration of Independence mentions God, but that doesn't mean it's the triune God. It doesn't mean it's the God of the Bible.
Well, the founders would say, they would sign documents with Anno Domini, which is Latin for in the year of our Lord, which was an overtly Christian piece of nomenclature. But here's the thing. While the founders believed in freedom of religious expression and freedom of conviction, regardless of the fact that they may not specifically spell out the gospel message, the philosophy that makes our Constitution work, it may not be the overt specifics of John 3:16, but it is absolutely the conception of a righteous God and moral absolutes that flow from the nature of God. Now, that's why, you know, Adams would say our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people wholly inadequate to the government of any other, because to be a citizen, you have to believe in a moral code our accountability and the best incentive to live lawfully and morally is to be mindful that you will answer to God for how you live. You know, I think about our 22nd and 24th president, Grover Cleveland. He lived 1837 to 1908. Cleveland said, quote, "The whole inspiration of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ and the lessons of the prophets. To read the Bible for these fundamentals is a necessity of American life." And on and on. I mean, literally hundreds of quotes in a similar vein. John Quincy Adams said that the highest glory of the American Revolution was to connect in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. You know, regardless of how overt any of our early documents might have been, you know, any rational person would have to recognize that it was a biblical orientation from which these men governed.
The Declaration of Independence mentions that they appeal to the supreme judge of the world. And one of my mentors, Dr. Peter Loback, with whom I wrote the book about George Washington's faith called George Washington's Sacred Fire, he's the founding president of Providence Forum, which he generously donated to Coral Ridge Ministries. And the ministry said, well, we can only have this gift. Thank you very much for this. We appreciate it. If we have somebody to run it, and internally, Jerry Newcomb, that's me, was the logical choice. And I'm like a kid in a candy shop, you know, and I'm the executive director of Providence Forum, again, founded by Dr. Loback. So Dr. Loback said of the phrase, the supreme judge of the universe, that the founders were talking about Jesus Christ. Because only in the Bible, you know, does it say that Jesus is the one who's going to be the judge.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, we know that, you know, the Declaration was influenced. Jefferson wrote it, but Jefferson was very much influenced by the Bible, by great Christian thinkers. He was influenced by John Locke. But it's interesting, in the original draft of the Declaration, which I've seen, and here in my home state of North Carolina is the International Civil Rights Museum, and the curator, who is originally from the University of Pennsylvania, he and I have talked at length about the original draft of the Declaration, which mentions Christianity. It mentions Britain was a Christian nation, and America would be built on Christian principles. And specifically, the original draft of the Declaration renounces slavery. Now, the story is that to get Georgia and South Carolina to sign on, and the colonists knew they needed unity among the colonies, and even then, to fight Great Britain was going to be a very daunting possibility. But clearly, America was founded, and sadly, that they to get buy-in from Georgia and South Carolina, the clauses striking slavery were left out of the first draft. But even before the completion of the American Revolution, the cause of abolition was in process. And part of the reason I belabor this point, Dr. Newcomb, is because many people I speak with today, and certainly college students that have only been told about how bad America is and things like that, you know, it would have been great if on day one, if, you know, July 4th, 1776, or in 1787 or 1789, that slavery was abolished and all of the human rights and civil rights that America, because of our Christian DNA, would later champion. It would have been great if all of that was there on day one. But here's the thing. There was no other nation in the 18th century, no other nation in the world building its principles on the idea of liberty and human rights and all persons made in God's image and all persons therefore equal in terms of worth and liberty and dignity. You know, whenever I debate secularists and they want to denigrate America, I'll say, okay, so you don't like America. What other nation in the 18th and 19th centuries was working on behalf of human rights? What other nation was having an internal civil war with itself for the cause of justice, righteousness, and human liberties? None, just America. And that, you know, Madison said that we have staked the whole future of American civilization not on the power of government, far from it, but the whole future of all of our political institutions is upon the capacity of mankind for self-government to control ourselves and sustain ourselves according to God's Ten Commandments. So the revisionist deconstructive history that we've all grown up under has got to be answered. Providence Forum is doing that in a powerful way. Many are passionate about this as well. And so our nation must know its true history, and its true history is glorious.
It is indeed. Okay, so we have a few minutes remaining. Let's talk about today. Today, the biblical worldview apparently is lacking in many young people, and even a basic understanding of civics, you know, is not known either these days.
Yeah, that's true. I sometimes think this is by design. A lot of people don't, you know, we're growing up and public school children are not learning physics and just how the government operates, how a bill becomes a law, the 27 amendments to the Constitution via the Bill of Rights. But, you know, I really think that people have to take it on themselves to care about America, to study and learn. And, you know, if people get a good civics education in school, that's wonderful. But for even those that don't, you know, I would encourage people to read anything and everything by Dr. Jerry Newcomb, Peter Lilback, Mark Belisles, Stephen McDowell, The American Story by David Barton, a brand new book, which is, in my opinion, excellent. But, you know, it's, I believe Benjamin Franklin said, you know, everybody loves the fruits of freedom, but many people are not willing to help tend the tree that bears the fruits. And Dr. Newcomb, I realize our home is in heaven, of course, but until we get there, we really must be good stewards of this wonderful gift with which we've been entrusted, this thing called the United States of America. And I would encourage everybody listening, because we are in an election year, please pray for America. Please vote. And if you're a born-again Christian, it is not hard to figure out where the godly principles are these days and what candidates and positions are ungodly. Really, the only two litmus tests, in my opinion, that will tell you everything you need to know about any candidate: where do they stand on the issue of human life? Are they pro-life or pro-abortion? And then where do they stand on the nation of Israel? Are they for, talk about the most indigenous of all indigenous people groups in the world, the Jewish people in the land of Israel, Israel's right to exist, Israel's right to self-defense. Show me where a candidate is on human life and the nation of Israel, and I'll pretty much know where they are on every other meaningful issue.
AlexMcFarland.com. Alex, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
God bless you.